Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 9th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Ann Rector. Ann is a fairly new member of our church. She and her husband have been here a year. Mark Rector, her husband, is our associate minister, and they have three wonderful children. I hope she'll tell you about them at the end of the podcast. Ann is such a blessing to our fellowship. She helps out in different areas of ministry, and I can't wait for you to hear about her life. Thank you, Ann, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me. So we're going to read from Daniel 2, Babylon Will Be Judged. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your house turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all of the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to be put to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke with him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God from heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue and awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beast of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some strength of iron in it, even as you saw the iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel on a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court.
Thank you so much, Anne, for joining the podcast today. We want to hear a little bit about you. Where did you grow up? Tell us a little bit about how you met Mark, and then a little bit about your family.
Thanks for having me, Mary. I grew up in Birmingham. Mark and I went to elementary school together, met each other in third grade, though did not start dating in third grade. I went to preschool at Mount Brook Baptist, and so I've been familiar with this place for a long time. My family and I went to Mount Brook Community growing up, and that's where I came to faith in seventh grade at a retreat that I believe Mount Brook Baptist collaborated with to do, Elevation,
yes,
years ago.
That's awesome. I didn't know you came to faith there. Yeah. Wonderful. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Mark.
Yes. So Mark and I got married right out of college in 2016, and we have three children. Josh is 4 and a half. He is so sweet. He's a great leader for the other siblings. He's really kind with wit and just very creative, just his mind. I don't quite understand how it works all the time, but he's very creative, likes to reenact a lot of daily rhythms of our household in a hilarious way. Evelyn is very nurturing and takes very good care of her baby dolls, takes that work very seriously, and is just kind of like my mini-me, likes to follow me around the house, aww, my little shadow. And then Wit, his personality is still emerging, but he's just very easygoing.
Remind us how old Wit is.
He will be 1 in June.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's kind of just like the great diffuser of the household. Anytime someone's upset, we just stick Wit in their face and they can't help but smile.
I agree with that. He is so super cute. Okay, I want to hear a little bit about your career, your profession. How did you know you wanted to be a teacher? And then let's talk a little bit about the joys and maybe the challenges of being a teacher.
Yeah, so teaching is something I've always kind of wanted to do. I didn't really consider doing anything else. I did think I wanted to be an elementary teacher, and I have so much respect for elementary teachers, and I majored in elementary ed, and I just realized I wasn't cut out for it, and I'm so grateful for all those elementary teachers. But I found myself really interested in the content of history as I was in college, and so I majored in history and then went back and got a master's in secondary education because I realized, like, of all the teaching stuff, learning social studies was most exciting to me. And so right now I'm teaching ninth grade at Mount Brook Junior High, and I just finished my third year of that. It's interesting to teach a class where I know that, like, while I enjoy teaching them about Napoleon, you know, or Peter the Great, that's not going to be the key for them to be successful in life. There's plenty of adults who don't know the series of events of the French Revolution, and they're just fine. And so thinking about what skills I can impart to them while they're in the classroom is something I've really been focusing on.
What are some of those skills?
Being able to think critically, I think wanting them to develop a work ethic, because I think it's easy as a teenager to not take school seriously, which, and feel like it's pointless, which of course I sympathize with, but also, you know, as Christians, we're called to work heartily at whatever we do. And so trying to teach students what it looks like to work hard and have integrity in your work, even if it feels meaningless and not important. Because there's plenty of things in our adult lives, you know, that are our work that feels meaningless and unimportant, whether it's, you know, sweeping the floor for the 15th time that day, you know, changing diapers. Like, even in the mundane, we're called to work hard and work for the Lord. And so I think that starts at a teenage, or really before that, you know, like children, even seeing like my 4-year-old, 3-year-old play, like the way that they take that play is their work, and they mm-hmm. take it seriously. And I think just encouraging that work ethic and integrity is one of the most important things that I can do.
I love students. That. Tell me about a couple of the challenges.
So for the challenges, I think working in Mountain Brook is awesome because we have so much support. We have support from the school system, from our administrators, from our parents. And I know that's something that not a lot of teachers can say. And so for that, I'm really grateful that we have that support. And generally speaking, the students are motivated to do well and are respectful and have those other needs met outside of the home, whether, you know, food, shelter, and those things. And now, obviously, there's a lot of issues in every school, but I'm grateful to not have to worry, I guess, about those sort of things. And I don't take that for granted. I would say one of the biggest challenges is helping foster a sense of, and this is back to the theme I said with what I enjoy, fostering a sense of integrity and like wanting to make them better people, obviously knowing that like I'm in a public school and the Lord is the one who is doing that sanctifying work, you know. But when I talk to students and I know students are telling me about the ways like they're in church and I know that they are seeking after the Lord, and thinking about in ninth grade, you know, I had a lot of things I could work on as I do now, but how can I in a public school help point them to the Lord, but also do my job as a public school teacher? And my job is not to teach religion in school, and so I don't do that, but how can I show them that I'm, you know, walking with the Lord in terms of the things that I'm saying, the way that I can encourage them, the language that I use?
I want to hear a little bit maybe about your personality. So if you had to tell me a couple of words that describe you, or maybe describe, you know, how you're a little bit different than Mark, what would you say?
It's hard when I'm asked about my personality. I'm told Mark would probably say that I am fun.
I agree with that.
I'm told that I'm fun. If somebody says that I'm not fun, that would be a big insult to me. So I think of myself as a fun person. I would say that I'm more laid back for the most part, to a fault a lot of times. But that being said, I can also be very anxious. I think that Mark is, I hate when people use the term like, oh, they're my rock, you know, because obviously God is our rock. But I will say Mark is the one who brings, you know, stability and order, and he keeps our household going. And being married to him, I have become a lot more prompt and organized. He has worked with me to improve those skills that I would not naturally possess. And I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I think that you have a wonderful personality, and I think when you were talking about Josh being sweet, I feel the same about you. Okay, I want to know about your relationship with the Lord. You said that you came to faith when you were in seventh grade. Maybe tell me about your journey of faith and how now you kind of relate to the Lord. What are ways or spiritual disciplines that you seek out?
Yeah. And I grew up in a Christian household, and, you know, the Lord works, his timeline is different than ours. And so I know that I was hearing spiritual truths my whole life. And I always like to get that disclaimer because I have, you know, wonderful parents who have taught me about the Lord from a very young age. But, you know, seventh grade, I was at that retreat, and that's when I feel like it clicked for the first time. But that being said, I've also been very blessed to have friends who were walking with the Lord as well. And that was in high school and college and beyond. So I'm just grateful for that community that I feel like has helped me grow. In some seasons, you know, it can be stronger than others. There's definitely isolating seasons, but I've just been grateful. I've always been surrounded by people who are seeking those things that I am. Something that's really important for me, I, like you, am an audio learner and I can pick up on audio well. In 12th grade, I was at Maverick Community, but I went on a mission trip to South Africa with our mission partners, the Living Hope. But I went with Brookwood Baptist to South Africa. And part of the thing we're supposed to do is to memorize the book of Colossians, like in our mission trip training.
The whole book?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
And so most of us did not. And I was a little more interested in going on the trip because Mark was at Brookwood Baptist. And I really thought Mark was cute. And he wasn't interested in me. But, you know, I thought maybe if
Wait a minute. I figured you guys dated your whole life. That wasn't the
truth.
No,
we didn't start dating until, like, the end of high school. I had a big crush on him.
Aww.
Yeah. So anyway, so I went, some friends, we went to South Africa. But one of the things we were supposed to do for the training was memorize the book of Colossians. And so I got the Bible, right, because I had the Bible app on my phone. But I started doing the audio and just listening to it. And I realized at that time, I actually may have burned a CD. I don't know. It was 2012. Yeah. I probably did burn a CD. Anyway, and listened to it. And I realized I was able to, like, memorize it fairly easily. I mean, it took time, but just, like, listening to it in the car on the way to school. And I memorized the book. And it was so cool just to have that. I'm probably a little rusty on it now. But to be able to have that come to me. And so memorizing, I will say I'm bad about just, like, memorizing a passage of scripture and remembering where it's from. But I try to be intentional about listening to different chapters of the Bible that are very important to me and having those memorized, because it's so cool how it can come to you, you know, at the moment.
Yes. Tell us a little bit of Colossians. If you had to, like, hone in on one little part, what comes to mind? Not to put you on the spot.
Okay. I do feel like a fraud because this is a podcast, so there's no accountability. But I'll see what I can do. The chapter 2 says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding." I don't know.
No, that is so awesome.
I would need to go back. It's been a while.
So if you do, like, brush up on it, you can pretty much quote the whole book still.
Yeah, and then some of First Peter and then James.
That is awesome.
But I feel I don't want to be held to this. At some point in my life, I could. It's probably a cop-out for not just sitting there and actually memorizing scripture like I should.
How does this play out in your life, though? Does it come to mind at certain times when you really need it?
Yes, and I feel like especially when, like I said, I'm very prone to anxiety, and, like, being able to, when I get in a situation and I feel anxiety, like, creeping in on me, like, being able to just, like, say scripture, or if I'm walking, to be able to just, like, recite it has been really meaningful to my spiritual life. Yeah, especially when I'm not always, like, carrying a Bible with me or have access to that.
Do you have a favorite verse, and does that verse happen to be one that you've memorized?
My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:13. It's, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." And I when I think about, like, pursuing God, it's funny because it looks so different, you know, in different seasons of your life. But that's something that I just go back to whenever I'm just feeling torn about whether it's a decision I'm making or just, like, frustrated with, you know, mundane daily life. It's like, how can I seek God in what I'm doing today?
What kind of media do you like? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you like to watch movies? Do you like to read?
My favorite podcast and this is really the only one I listen to consistently right now, is Risen Motherhood. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I've heard of the book, but
okay, I read her book. But she, and they have, it's two, I guess they're sisters-in-law, and they have a podcast. They produce it pretty much weekly, just on different topics in motherhood, but they're just so grounded in scripture and everything they say.
As a new member of Mountain Brook Baptist, I want to hear from your perspective. What are some of the things that you enjoy about our fellowship?
Well, yeah, so Mark and I have been here, I guess, about a year exactly, and we've just loved being here at Mountain Brook Baptist. And I think that one of the things that I really appreciate is the mixture of tradition and intentionality, because I feel like, and especially seeing the staff that y'all have and just seeing the thought and prayer that goes into the things that y'all do is so encouraging. And y'all also have things that you've done for so long that have worked so well. I mean, seeing Mark do Living Nativity.
We have to get you out there. Were you in one of the shows this year?
I was not. Okay. I was not.
Next year, an angel with me.
I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it. So, yeah, I mean, just like living nativity was so awesome, but just seeing the intentionality and just the daily planning of events and even things like this, the podcast, I think has been such a cool resource for me. When I get up in the morning, I try to sneak down before anyone else wakes up and follows me down. Anyone being my children, marks up way before me. But if I can get downstairs, and sometimes I can't always get to my Bible before I'm woken up, but I can, before they wake up, but I will turn on the podcast and just listen, you know, while I'm making breakfast and getting lunches ready, and just to start my day hearing scripture while I can carry on those daily tasks that need to be done has been such an encouragement to me.
Well, one thing that's been an encouragement to me from you is in Sunday morning Bible study together, I love to hear you, you know, just make some commentary on the passage. I like the way that you come at scripture often. And so I'm curious if perhaps you might give a little bit of your thoughts on the passage from today.
Really, what stuck out to me was how Nebuchadnezzar was more drawn to hear what the wise men of the Lord had to say than the astrologers and the magicians and the other wise men that were not following the Lord. Those, I guess we could call them like yes men, you know, who just wanted to tell Nebuchadnezzar what he wanted to hear. He was sick of that. And he, though he wouldn't have said that he was listening to God or following God, he couldn't help but be drawn to the advisors he's had that were walking with the Lord. And to me, to see people in the Old Testament or the New Testament who were not either the Israelites or Christians, but that are naturally drawn to spirit-filled people is really cool to me.
Absolutely. Well, with that, Anne, we just want to say thank you again for joining the podcast. And I wonder if you would close our time together with prayer.
Yeah. Lord, thank you so much for this day and this time to be together and to read your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active, and that just by reading it that we can immerse ourselves and learn more about you. Thank you for this podcast and this church, and be with us today on June 9th. Amen.